make them laugh. Don't you know everyone wants to laugh? My dad said, be an actor, my son, but be a comical one.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. Jane and Carol with you until 2 o'clock, broadcasting across the Civic Media Network. So excited to be talking to our next guest. Born and raised in Madison, juggling for 47 years, truly remarkable loon is going to have his final show on Friday, the day after Thanksgiving, and he joins us now in his purple office. How are you, Loon? Thank you so much for being with us.
I'm very good. I'm very good. I'm having a good afternoon. Thanks for having me.
So
many questions.
Yeah, so I don't even know where to start.
How about if I give you the answers and then you come up with
We'll do a reverse Johnny Carson kind of thing. Juggling. So did you do this as a kid? Was this always in your wheelhouse? Where did that even start?
I didn't learn to juggle until I was 20. By juggling standards, that's very late. All the really good jugglers, some of them learned when they were 3 years old. Most people can learn at about age 11. So, but I saw a fire juggling act when I was 20, and I was inspired. I don't care how hard that is. I'm going to learn how to do that. I want to be able to throw flaming torches and catch them.
So then how did you make this into a living? I mean, when you were growing up, was there something that you focused on that you wanted to be, but then you got, then this life path came in your direction?
I didn't graduate high school. I had a lot of behavior issues. So I never really had any particular life direction. I was just kind of blown in the wind a lot. I took opportunities. Whenever something interesting happened or was available to me, I would take opportunities, take chances. And first I learned how to juggle. And I was a very dedicated juggler. I practiced every day. I rarely went any place at any time without bringing some type of juggling props with me. And then in Madison, the second year I was juggling, I saw a street juggling act, which was the first time I'd ever seen an act. And I thought, well, I have the personality. I've always been kind of a show off and class clown kind of guy. So I could do that. And then I started pursuing street juggling first. I was a street performer for 7 years. I lived entirely out of my hat for 7 years.
Wow.
I started out in the street performing mecca of the United States, which is Key West, Florida. I don't know if... Have you been there?
I have never been to Key West, but I hear it's beautiful. Jane's shaking her head.
I have been there, and I can see where that would be a good place for busking.
Yeah. There's a place called Mallory Square that's a big dock that faces the west. And every day of the year, there are crowds of tourists that come there to watch the sunset. It's a spectacular view of the sunset. So all kinds of buskers, from magicians to jugglers to rope walkers. There was a lizard act guy. There was a guy that walked on broken glass. And they all performed. And you could do two shows. You had to do one that had to end before sunset, because that's why everybody actually came. They came to watch the sunset. So when they'd be watching your act, and when the sun would turn around, they would... And then once the sun was under the horizon, if you started right up again, you could do a second show before it got too dark there to juggle.
Busking is a way to develop a really thick skin, I would think, as a young performer.
Yeah. And in Key West, on the pier there was often 10 other acts. So if you, weren't doing something very visually and comically or somehow interesting, people would just turn around and 10 feet behind them would be a snake charmer or guy that walked on tightrope or who knows what. There were so many different kinds of acts there.
Well, now, but you're not just a juggler. I mean, you expanded into all kinds of things for entertaining everybody. I mean, How did that happen?
Well, I'm not a very good juggler. I've never been a great juggler, but I'm a good entertainer. I'm a good performer. I'm funny. Or that's what people tell me. I like to tell jokes. I tell jokes a lot as if they were true stories. That is often gets people. And I'm a really good entertainer. So juggling is kind of my foot in the door. And then when I start to do my act, the funny things I say, the way I do things, it's a lot more than juggling. So a technical juggling act, like if you go to Las Vegas and you go to Circus Circus, they have a juggling act, but it lasts 7 or 8 minutes. And the person usually doesn't talk, but does, you know, 5 balls and 10 rings behind the back. It does all kinds of technically astounding stuff. But I've always juggled more simple things, but a lot of talking and a lot of funny things. I bill myself as a comedy juggler. So the comedy is first.
Loon, I want to back up again to when you were just learning how to juggle when you said you were around 20. How many? So if you practice for a couple hours every day, did you have bruises all over? I mean, did you drop things on yourself? Did you hit yourself in the head with things? You must have smacked yourself a couple times.
Well, there was times. Initially, when one learns how to juggle, I learned how to juggle with balls. When I teach juggling now, I usually teach with scarves. So those, you can learn the juggling pattern, but since they fall very slowly, you can learn the pattern in a very easy way. Ah. And then you can start to switch to things like balls that, you know, move a lot faster. And for me, the progression was I learned how to juggle balls, and then I learned how to juggle clubs. And then I built a set of terrible juggling torches because I didn't really understand how to build juggling equipment at the time. I had hitchhiked to Guatemala for the winter, and I made, I cut some bamboo sticks and wrapped cotton rags around the end of them, and they seemed too light, so I wrapped some heavy wire around the end, and the balance on them was terrible. The ends of them were hollow bamboo. So when they'd hit your hands, if you didn't catch them just right, the edge of the bamboo would. So, yeah.
Wow.
I also made the mistake that I thought, well, I'm going to juggle these in the dark.
Oh, God.
My very first time. And when you juggle torches in the dark, all you can see is the part you're not supposed to catch.
But I'm fascinated. That's hilarious because I never even thought about that. Because I'm not a juggler. I'm fascinated by the name. Can you tell the story of how you got your name?
Well, I'm first generation American. My parents came from Germany just 2 years before I was born, and they gave me a name. My birth name was Stefan, which in English might be translated to Stefan, but everybody called me Steve. And when I was a kid, I had a pretty bad speech impediment, and I couldn't say the letter S very well. So I didn't like being called Steve because I couldn't say my own name. So I went for a long time by my family name, which was Albert. And then I would get in trouble at school because they would call, you know, Stefan, and I wouldn't answer because I was calling myself Albert. And then they'd say, well, who's that extra kid? Well, I'm Albert. You know. So, and I tried out a bunch of different names. And then I was on a boating trip in the Boundary Waters in the summertime, and it rained for 11 of the 13 days that we were out. And I decided after about the second day that I was going to ignore the rain. It was July. It was relatively warm. So I went swimming in the lake every day, and then I dry off with my sopping wet towel and hang it up in the rain to dry. And there was loons on the lake, and I tried to swim out to the loons every day. And I never got there because they were much better swimmers than I ever was or will be. And my friend that was with me on the trip started calling me Albert of the Loons. So then Albert got dropped, and I was simply Loon. And then I was, the next summer, I was living in northern Wisconsin with some friends who were, we lived in a teepee and we were building a stone house. And when we got to the roofing part, I was very skinny back then. And everybody fell off the roof because it was very steep. The final drop was only about 8 feet. So it wasn't like, you know, fall off a second story roof. But I was the only person that did not fall off the roof because I was so skinny. And one of the people that I was working with said, "That's truly remarkable, Loon."
Oh, wow. And I there thought, you go.
That's it. I'm going to go with that. And so.
And a name is born.
Yes.
And yeah. You have a, so your social security card and everything is truly remarkable, Loon.
Yes. All my identification, my passport, my driver's license, my library card, they all say truly remarkable, Loon. And do you know about Pastafarians?
I do.
I am a Pastafarian, so my driver's license picture, I am wearing a colander on my head.
Oh, my God. That's so funny. I can't imagine what the DMV says to you when you come walking in to get your picture taken.
You know, it was a very interesting experience. There was a lot of people standing in line that was wondering, and I have a purple colander, no less. And they were very interested that, you know, other people that were going there to get their license or whatever. What's going on? What's that thing on your head? And then when I got up to the front of the line, there was no questions asked. The eye contact, here's your paper, sir. No eye contact at all. No questions asked about that. It's like, this, you're not messing with this guy. Yeah. Just get him out of here.
And do you just crack up people at passport control too? Or do they just, it's like, we've seen everything. This is nothing new.
One time when I tried to board an airplane, the person, the TSA person, thought this can't possibly be a name. And then she called her boss over, and the boss said, "Oh, look, the name matches the name on the boarding ticket. Let them on."
That's so funny.
The other thing, Facebook. I've been kicked off of Facebook at least a half a dozen times because it's a fake name.
Oh, you're kidding.
Yeah, and then you have to send them a picture of your passport or your driver's license, and then 2 weeks later, they reinstate you on Facebook. And then it's happened to me about once a year since I've been on Facebook.
Oh, that's hilarious.
So where did the purple come from, or the periwinkle? Where did that come from? Is that like your favorite? Is that your favorite color, or is that the favorite color of your you know, friends, or what?
Well, one of my other many adventures, I lived in Hawaii for many years, and I met somebody who explained to me that different colors have effects on people. So he explained, you know, that brown makes you invisible, and blue is blue because of blue collar workers. People are going to expect you to work. And so I tried out that next year. I was sewing my own clothes back then, and I made clothes in all these different colors, and purple was the funniest color. So this was about 1980, and I could walk into some place and I'd be dressed in head to toe in purple, and people immediately would say, so, you know, and my goal in life is to make people laugh. So all I had to do was walk in the door and they'd be laughing.
So purple is the funniest color.
For me.
Okay.
For me. So, you know, it's an individual thing. And yellow was close. Yellow is a close, but it shows dirt really bad.
Oh, I bet. Well, we are going to continue our conversation. Truly Remarkable Loon is our guest. He has been juggling for 47 years, and he's hanging things up the day after Thanksgiving. We'll have more details about that. And Loon, we hope you'll stay with us. You're listening to Jane and Carol on As Goes Wisconsin and the Civic Media Network.
simple thing to do. Believe in your dream, and your dream will come true for you. Be red sunshine.
Welcome back to Ask Goes Wisconsin with Jane and Carol. We are on the final segment of our show today, joined by truly remarkable Loon, who has been juggling for 47 years. And you've got three final shows, Loon, this Friday. Why don't you tell us about that?
So I'll be performing on Friday, the day after Thanksgiving, which is, in my book, Purple Friday. And it's at the Overture Center for the Arts in Madison. It's their Saturday morning series, which is they're holding on a Friday.
How does that work?
I know. It's always been Saturday, but this time it's Friday. And they do three shows in the, it's called Kids in the Rotunda. There's this beautiful round stage downstairs in the bottom of the Overture Center. It holds about 400 people. And there's three shows, and actually there's usually two, but they added a third one because they're expecting a big turnout. I have quite a following. So the shows are at 9:30, 11, and 1 o'clock is coming Friday at the Overture Center for the Arts. The shows are free. So if someone doesn't like the show, I can give them double their money back.
That's an excellent guarantee.
There you go. Well, now, in all honesty, Loon, this has got to be kind of a bittersweet thing for you. You've done this for so long, and you're hanging up your hat, if you will. What's the future hold for you? What are you going to be doing?
Well, I did a lot of juggling shows in my life. I didn't do a lot of things because, well, am I going to go on this canoeing trip or am I going to go juggling? Well, I'm going to go do a juggling show. So I'm going to do this winter. I'm going to go skiing again, which I actually have done most winters, but I'm really looking forward to an extended ski trip in Colorado and maybe a second time out in Idaho. I'm going to plant trees. That's one of the things that I really started doing in the last years. I run the Little Free Tree Library and propagate and give away trees and plant quite a few of them as well.
Do you plant them just all over Madison or?
Some of my trees get exported further. Usually people come and pick them up. We do have the jumping worm, one of the gazillion invasive species. So I try not to send them too far, though if you look at a map of the United States, the jumping worms are from like New Jersey into Colorado. So really, you know, some people say, oh, no, I don't want them, but you're going to get them. They're like the emerald ash borer or what's the new one, the spotted lantern fly that's coming in. You know, so, but I plant trees primarily on private property. I discourage people from planting on public property because, as a rule, the municipalities don't like it. They think, oh, this is our terrace. We'll decide where the trees are going to be planted. And in Madison, and I'm sure in Waukesha too, you've had the emerald ash borer that.
Oh, yeah.
12% of all trees in Madison are ash trees, and the city started by cutting down about 50% of city ash trees, and pretty much all the ash trees in Wisconsin are doomed. You know.
Now, going back to the juggling thing, what was the hardest thing for you to learn for your act?
Well, I used to juggle five balls, which, in my guesstimate, less than 1% of everybody that learns how to juggle can do five balls. But there's a lot of jugglers that do 7, 9. There's a few jugglers that do 11. But five balls was extremely difficult for me. And then in 2007, I tore one of my rotator cuffs. And I never got back to that juggling level. So that was, you know, technically the most difficult thing.
Okay.
Truly Remarkable Loon is our guest. You can catch his one of his final three shows this Friday in Madison. And if you go to asgoeswisconsin.com, if you want to check out our podcast, we will have all of the links you should be able to find there. If you want more information about Truly Remarkable Loon, including his little free tree library. Loon, I'm curious, where is the most exotic place that your juggling has taken you?
Oh, gosh. I had a spectacular 2-week tour in New Zealand. I had just such a great time. My juggling opened every door. Every single day, I got invited to go sailing with people the next day, or to go hiking with them on a glacier, or come out to the sheep farm. New Zealand is a really fun place to be.
And it is the cleanest country I have ever seen. I swear they vacuum every night.
Yeah, but I've also, I've traveled all over the United States. I toured in Arkansas a couple of times, which is a very, you know, it's the same country as Wisconsin, but it's a very different place.
Yes, I know. My sister used to live in Little Rock. I've been there. That was a very interesting visit, for sure. Well, now, okay, so you're off and you're going to right into the retirement sunset. I really very much hope that you enjoy all your time together and with the family and going on ski trips and, you know, take the time. At this point in time in your life, it's time to just sit back and enjoy, you know?
Yeah, I have two grandsons now. My two daughters are grown. I have two son-in-laws. I took my younger grandson to Germany to meet most of my family over there 2 years ago.
Oh, how exciting.
Yeah, he was 2 years old. We had such a blast together. And I want to take my older grandson. He's 12 now. I want to take him to Germany. And he's going skiing with me now, too, all the time.
Oh, fun.
But are your daughters like, Dad, don't teach him how to juggle. Please, God, don't teach him how to juggle.
No, my oldest daughter's actually, both of my daughters are fairly accomplished jugglers. But they have other interests in life, you know, and I'm interested in them in jugglers. My oldest daughter won the Flamingo Award at the 1999 World Juggling Festival.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
Which was an award for the most up-and-coming female juggler at the festival.
That's fantastic. Well, it has been just a delight talking to you. Congratulations on your long, long, successful career. And I'm sure whatever you do, you will go forward and do it with a lot of joy and a lot of purple.
Yeah, my arms are really looking forward to a rest.
Truly Remarkable Loon. Thank you again.
Happy holidays. Thank you so much. Happy holidays.
Same to you. Thanks for having me.
You bet.
You have been listening to Jane and Carol. Civic Media Network, As Goes Wisconsin. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. We will be back with you on Monday.
Yeah, Kristen will be back on Monday, and it'll be interesting to hear of her travels and how her honeymoon went. So that's great.
Honeymooner's going to be back. Thank you, Carol Kane, my friend.
Thank you.
Take care, everyone. Keep it right here. Dueling Tangents is next.
I'm a whack, whack, whacking like old man trouble, whacking old man front door.